Ficta Inferno is explicit in every way.
We're back. It's Maya.
And I'm over here.
That's Saya. She can't say her name, I guess. She keeps forgetting to. We're back with chapter 5 of Twilight called Blood Type. And Saya is doing her homework, even though she doesn't want to do her homework, but we're still doing the podcast.
I'm a good multitasker.
Is that what they say in the bedroom?
Yes.
Oh my. Oh dear, oh dear. Any hoodles? I made me way to English in a daze. I didn't even realize when I first walked in that class. Had already started, she was late for class. Thank you for joining us, Miss Swan, Mr. Mason said in a disparaging tone, even.
Damn.
Yeah, because I feel like the only teachers in this school are all male. I flushed and hurried to my seat because I don't like being the center of attention. It wasn't until class ended that I realized Mike wasn't sitting in his usual seat next to me. What the fuck? I felt a twinge of guilt, but he and Eric both met me at the door as usual, so I figured I wasn't totally unforgiven. You have nothing to be forgiven for. You didn't want to go to the dance with them.
Yeah.
You said no. They don't get to be mad at you because you said no. Yeah, they can be disappointed. And they can say, like, and they can be, like, a little, like, okay, I want to keep my distance a little bit because I'm a little hurt. But there is nothing to be, like, forgiven for saying no.
Yeah.
Mike seemed to become more himself as we walked, gaining enthusiasm as he talked about the weather report for this weekend. The rain was supposed to take a minor break, so maybe his beach trip would be possible. I tried to sound eager, to make up for disappointing him yesterday. It was hard, rain or no rain. It would still only be in the high 40s if we were lucky. Dang, that's shorts weather.
Right?
The rest of the morning passed in a blur. It was difficult to believe that I hadn't just imagined what Edward had said, and the way his eyes had looked. Maybe it was just a convincing dream that I'd confused with reality. You should probably talk to a doctor about that. That seemed more probable than that I really appealed to him on any level. Yeah, it's because you smell good. To him. So I was impatient and frightened as Jessica and I entered the cafeteria. I wanted to see his face, to see if he'd gone back to the cold, indifferent person I'd known for the last several weeks. Or if, by some miracle, I'd really heard what I thought I'd heard this morning. Jessica babbled on and on about her dance plans. That's kind of rude.
I know.
She babbled on about something she's excited, Bella. Listen like a friend, even if you're not interested. Even if you're not interested in the thing, it's what makes your friend happy, so be a bro.
No.
Oh boy. Lauren and Angela had asked the other boys, and they were all going together, completely unaware of my inattention. Okay.
Sure.
Disappointment flooded through me as my eyes unerringly focused on his table. The other four were there, but he was absent. Had he gone home? I followed the still babbling Jessica, still rude, Bella. Through the line, crushed. I'd lost my appetite. I'd bought nothing but a bottle of lemonade. I just wanted to sit down and sulk. Are you sure it's lemonade? Edward Cullen is staring at you again, Jessica said, finally breaking through my abstraction with his name. I wonder why he's sitting alone today. What?
Interesting.
My head snapped up. I followed her gaze to see Edward, smiling crookedly, staring at me from an empty table across the cafeteria. From where he usually sat. Once he'd caught my eye, he raised one hand and motioned with his index finger for me to join him. Like, you know, the little,
yeah.
Like, come here, come. Exactly like that, Saya. Exactly like that. That is the epitome.
I don't want to talk about what I
That was like, that was such a tropey, cheesy come hither. Yep, he plans to bang her right there on the cafeteria table. I shouldn't say that. They're minors.
I know. That's
well, Bella's a minor. But she doesn't try to get in his pants before then.
That's true.
There's a whole thing about it. And then Edward has to be all virtuous and be like, no, I can't do that before we're married. And Bella's like, whoa, who's talking about marriage? Edward already getting down on one knee. As I stared in disbelief, he winked. For fuck's sake. Seriously. Make up your mind. I'm so... Look, no, if someone did this to me in the middle of the cafeteria, I'd be just like, I don't know this person. I don't know them. Walk away. Does he mean you? Jessica asked with insulting astonishment in her voice. I would also be like, I don't think it was that insulting. I mean, Bella, you were just ignoring her.
That's true.
Maybe he needs help with his biology homework, I muttered for her benefit. I'd better go see what he wants. I could feel her staring after me as I walked away. When I reached his table, I stood behind the chair across from him, unsure. Why don't you sit with me today? He asked, smiling. Edward, make up your fucking mind!
Right.
Yeah. I sat down automatically, watching him with caution. He was still smiling. It was hard to believe that someone so beautiful could be, what, so much of a dickhead? Could be so real. Oh, I was so wrong. I was afraid that he might disappear in a sudden puff of smoke and I would wake up. He seemed to be waiting for me to say something. This is different, I finally managed. Well, he paused and then the rest of the words followed in a rush. I decided as long as I was going to hell, I might as well do it thoroughly. Might as well do it thoroughly. I hate you. No, I love you. No, I hate you. I'll see you on Saturday, bestie, you ugly piece of shit, but I love you. Yeah, that's all he said. But that is such a cringy thing to say.
It is.
It is so. I decided I'm going to hell, so I might as well do it thoroughly.
Yeah, it's fine.
What? What is this? Some Devil May Cry shit? Yes. Oh, God. I have to show you the clip later. I might have to insert the clip later. I waited for him to say something that made sense. The seconds ticked by. You know, I don't have any idea what you mean, I eventually pointed out. I know. He smiled again. And then he changed the subject. I think your friends are angry with me for stealing you.
Oh.
I don't think you really stole her. She just kind of walked over.
Yeah.
They'll survive. I could feel their stares boring into my back. I may not give you back, though, he said with a wicked glint in his eyes. Just kill me. I gulped. He laughed. You look worried. No, I said, but ridiculously my voice broke. Surprised, actually. What brought all this on? I told you. I got tired of trying to stay away from you. So I'm giving up, he said, smiling, but his ochre eyes were serious. It looked like other as I was passing over it. He just has a set of eyes in his pocket. Giving up, I repeated in confusion. Yes, giving up trying to be good. I'm going to do what I want now and let the chips fall where they may. Who knows where the winds of fate may lead us. His smile faded as he explained and had a hard edge crept into his voice and his pants. I shouldn't say that. You lost me again, and you lost me too, because this is so fucking confusing and so convoluted and just so self-righteous of you, Edward. They're perfect for each other. The breathtaking crooked smile reappeared. I always say too much when I'm talking to you. That's one of the problems. Don't worry, I don't understand any of it, I said wryly, the elevator music suddenly turning up to 11 in my brain. I'm counting on that. So, in plain English, are we friends now? Friends, he mused, dubious. Or not, I muttered. He grinned. Well, we can try, I suppose, but I'm warning you now that I'm not a good friend for you.
Oh my god, not again!
Well, perfect, Edward. Bella's just a shitty friend in general. Behind a smile, the warning was real. Bella will tell you you do look fat in those khakis.
Oh, she will.
In all 11 pairs of khakis.
I said 30.
30.
Absolutely ridiculous.
You know what? It suddenly doubled 60. He has 60 pairs of khakis. Esme had to build a storage shed just for the khakis.
Oh, God.
Just for the... And the thing is, they're not all the same shade of khaki.
No, they're all different colors.
They're all different shades of khaki. Just slightly different.
Khaki.
He will hold up two pairs of khakis that look the same, and he'll be like, at Bella... Which one should I wear? This one or this one? And she'll be like, I don't know. They look the same to me. And he'll gasp and be like, you are absurd. These are two different shades of khaki. You plebeian. And then he'll get on his little throne and be carried away somewhere while he's distressing over khakis.
Why are we like this?
Trauma.
Yeah. You are also absolutely right that I am completely cheating on this.
You just admitted that on the podcast.
Yeah,
oh, Jesus.
I said it quiet enough.
Maybe it picked you up. You never know.
You never know.
You never know. I don't think that picked that up at all. I don't know if it's picking you up that well, actually.
Probably not, because I'm not even facing you.
No, you're not. You're, like, facing away from me.
I'm sorry, I need to do math. Yeah. I'm hoping, yeah, I'm just, like, so tired. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Don't mind me.
You say that a lot, I noted, trying to ignore the sudden trembling in my stomach and keep my voice even. Yeah, you keep telling me you're not a good friend. Maybe we shouldn't be friends. Yes, because you're not listening to me. I'm still waiting for you to believe it. If you're smart, you'll avoid me, even though we sit next to each other in biology.
All right.
The only class.
I'm gonna take you to Seattle.
Even though I'm the one that beckoned you over here. I think you've made your opinion on the subject of my intellect clear, too. My eyes narrowed. He smiled apologetically. So, as long as I'm being not smart, we'll try to be friends? I struggled to sum up the confusing exchange. I was so fucking confused. That sounds about right. I looked down at my hands wrapped around the lemonade bottle, picturing it not a lemonade bottle. Not sure what to do now. What are you thinking? He asked curiously. I don't think you want to know that, Edward. I looked up into his deep gold eyes, became fuddled, befuddled, fuddled, befuddled, and as usual, blurted out the truth. I'm trying to figure out what you are. His jaw tightened, but he kept a smile in place with some effort. Are you having any luck with that? He asked in an offhand tone. Not too much, I admitted. He chuckled. What are your theories? I blushed. I had been... What is this word? Vacillating? Vacillating?
Vacillating.
I had been vacillating during the last months between Bruce Wayne and Peter Parker. There was... Well, he is Batman.
He is.
There was no way I was going to own up to that. Won't you tell me? He asked, tilting his head to one side with a shockingly tempting smile. I shook my head. Too embarrassing. That's what she said. Too embarrassing. Not, it's too embarrassing, just too embarrassing. That's really frustrating, you know, he complained. No, I disagreed quickly, my eyes narrowing. I can't imagine why that would be frustrating at all, just because someone refuses to tell you what they're thinking, even if all the while they're making cryptic little remarks specifically designed to keep you up at night wondering what they could possibly mean. Now, why would that be frustrating?
Oh, I wonder.
Bella, you're being cringe. He grimaced. Or better, I continued, the pent-up annoyance flowing freely now. Say that person also did a wide range of bizarre things, from saving your life under impossible circumstances one day to treating you like a pariah the next, and then never explained any of that, either even after he promised. That also would be very non-frustrating. You got a bit of a temper, don't you? I don't like double standards. Same. We stared at each other, unsmiling. He glanced over my shoulder, and then unexpectedly he snickered. What? Your boyfriend seems to think I'm being unpleasant to you. He's debating whether or not to come break up our fight. He snickered again. I don't know who you're talking about, I said frostily. But I am sure you're wrong anyway. I'm not. I told you, most people are easy to read. Except me, of course. Yes, yeah. Except for you. His mood shifted suddenly. His eyes turned brooding. I wonder why that is. His eyes were literally brooding on their own.
They're just doing whatever the fuck they want at this point.
Pretty much. I had to look away from the intensity of his stare. I concentrated on unscrewing the lid of my lemonade. Because she had to really concentrate on that.
She really
did. I took a swig, staring at the table without seeing it. Aren't you hungry? He asked, distracted. No, I didn't feel like mentioning that. My stomach was already full of butterflies.
Ooh.
You? I looked at the empty table in front of him. No, I'm not hungry. I didn't understand his expression. It looked like he was enjoying some private... He looked like he was enjoying some private joke. Can you do me a favor? I asked after a second of hesitation. He was suddenly wary. That depends on what you want. It's not much, I assured him. He waited, guarded, but curious. I just wondered if you could warn me beforehand the next time you decide to ignore me for my own good. Just so I'm prepared. Oh, he fails at that.
Oh, he sure does.
I looked at the lemonade bottle as I spoke, tracing the circle of the opening with my pinky finger. That sounds fair. He was pressing his lips together to keep from laughing when I looked up. Thanks. Then can I have one answer in return? He demanded. One. Tell me one theory. Whoops! Not that one. You didn't qualify, you just promised one answer, he reminded me. And you've broken promises yourself? I reminded him back. Just one theory. I won't laugh. Yes, you will.
Yes, you will.
Yes, you will. That is literally what she said. I was positive about that. He looked down and then glanced up at me through his long black lashes. I seriously hate that she keeps using this, his ochre eyes scorching. Please, he breathed, leaning toward me. I blinked, my mind going blank. Holy crow, did he do that? How did he do that? Holy crow. He just leaned in and breathed towards her in her general direction.
Really,
it probably does. It probably smells musty, honestly. What? I asked, dazed. Please just tell me one little theory. He was eyes still smoldered at me like blue steel from Zoolander. Well, bitten by a radioactive spider. Was he a hypnotist, too, or was I just a hopeless pushover?
That one.
That's not very creative, he scoffed. I'm sorry, that's all I've got, I said, miffed. You're not even close, he teased. No spiders? Nope. And no radioactivity? None. Dang, I sighed. Kryptonite doesn't bother me either, he chuckled. You're not supposed to laugh, remember? He struggled to compose his face. I will figure it out eventually, I warned him. I wish you wouldn't try. He was serious again. Because, what if I'm not a superhero? What if I'm the bad guy? God, fuck you. Because I'm the bad guy. Duh. He smiled playfully, but his eyes were impenetrable. Oh?
Oh.
I said as several things he'd hinted fell suddenly into place. I see. Do you? His face was abruptly severe, as if he were afraid that he'd accidentally said too much. You're dangerous, I guessed, my pulse quickening as I intuitively realized the truth of my own words. He was dangerous. He'd been trying to tell me that all along.
Wow, Bella.
How is he dangerous? That he's too sharp, that you might cut yourself on him or something because he's so edgy?
I think so.
But not bad, I whispered, shaking my head. No, I don't believe you're that you're bad. You're wrong. His voice was almost inaudible. He looked down, stealing my bottle lid and then spinning it on its side between his fingers.
Oh, rude.
Rude. I stared at him, wondering why I didn't feel afraid. He meant what he was saying. That was obvious. But I just felt anxious, on edge, and, more than anything else, fascinated, the same way I always felt when I was near him. The silence lasted until I noticed that the cafeteria was almost empty. I jumped to my feet. We're going to be late. I'm not going to class today, he said, twirling the lid so fast it was just a blur. Why not? It's healthy to ditch class now and then, he smiled up at me, but his eyes were still troubled. Well, I'm going, I told him. I was far too big a coward to risk getting caught. He turned his attention back to his makeshift top. I'll see you later, then. I hesitated, torn, but then the first bell sent me hurrying out the door, with a last glance confirming that he hadn't moved a centimeter. As I half ran to class, my head was spinning faster than the bottle cap. So few questions had been answered in comparison to how many new questions had been raised. At least the rain had stopped. In a few hours, the sun will rise!
And promise tomorrow.
I was lucky. Mr. Bruce Banner wasn't in the room yet when I arrived. I settled quickly into my seat, aware that both Mike and Angela were staring at me. Mike looked resentful. Angela looked surprised and slightly awed. Oh, Mike, you're going to be a bitch boy now because someone else gave her attention and she gave attention back because she's not attracted to you because you're such a nice guy.
Such a nice guy.
And it's not like she's going to the dance with Edward. She's just going to Seattle with him because he asked.
He's like, if I asked her to Seattle, she would have rejected me.
But you didn't ask her to go to Seattle. You asked, aren't you going to ask me to the dance?
Yeah.
That is what you asked, Mike, you bitch. Mr. Bruce Banner came in the room, then calling the class to order. He was juggling a few small cardboard boxes in his arms. He put them down on Mike's table, telling him to start passing them around the class. Okay, guys, I want you all to take one piece from each box, he said as he produced a pair of rubber gloves from the pocket of his lab jacket and pulled them on. The sharp sound as the gloves snapped into place against his wrist seemed ominous to me. The first should be an indicator card. He went on, grabbing a white card with four squares marked on it, displaying it. The second is a four-pronged applicator. He held up something that looked like a nearly toothless hairpick. And the third is a sterile micro-lancet. He held up a small piece of blue plastic and split it open. The barb was invisible from a distance, but my stomach flipped. I'll be coming around with a dropper of water to prepare your card, so please don't start until I get to you. He began at Mike's table, then carefully putting the drop of water in each of the four squares. Then I want you to carefully prick your finger with the lancet. He grabbed Mike's hand and jabbed the spike into the tip of Mike's middle finger.
Ah!
Oh no, clammy moisture broke out across my forehead. Okay, yeah, I hate this. But a small drop of blood on each of the prongs, he demonstrated, squeezing Mike's finger like the blood flowed. I swallowed convulsively, my stomach heaving, and then apply it to the card. He finished holding up the dripping red card for us to see. I closed my eyes, trying to hear through the ringing in my ears. I'm just going to... Okay. The Red Cross is having a blood drive in Port Angeles next weekend, so I thought you should all know your blood type. He sounded proud of himself. Those of you who aren't 18 yet will need a parent's permission. I have slips at my desk. Also, I don't think this is, I don't think this is safe.
Yeah.
Like, because what? You don't know if Mike could have had, like, anemia.
Yeah.
Or something. You don't know if someone might have had issues with blood clotting. He continued through the room with his water drops. I put my cheek against the cool black tabletop and tried to hold onto my consciousness. All around me, I could hear squeals, complaints, and giggles as my classmates skewered their fingers. Ugh, skewered their fingers. Ugh, I hate that.
Stop it.
This is horrific. I breathed slowly in and out through my mouth. Bella, are you all right? Mr. Bruce Banner asked. His voice was close to my head, and it sounded alarmed. I already know my blood type, Mr. Bruce Banner, I said in a weak voice. I was afraid to raise my head. Are you feeling faint? Yes, sir, I muttered, internally kicking myself for not ditching when I had the chance. Can someone take Bella to the nurse, please? He called. I didn't have to look up to know that it would be Mike who volunteered. Can you walk? Mr. Bruce Banner asked. Yes, I whispered. Just let me get out of here, I thought. I'll crawl. Mike seemed eager as he put his arm around my waist and pulled my arm over his shoulder. I leaned against him heavily on the way out of the classroom. Mike towed me slowly across the campus when we were around the edge of the cafeteria out of sight of the building for in case Mr. Bruce Banner was watching. I stopped. Just let me sit for a minute, please, I begged. He helped me sit on the edge of the walk. Whatever you do, keep your hand in your pocket, I warned. Wait, did he not hand out Band-Aids? I was still so dizzy. I slumped over on my side, putting my cheek against the freezing damp cement of the sidewalk, closing my eyes. This seemed to help a little. Wow, you're green, Bella, Mike said nervously. Bella, a different voice called from the distance. No, please let me be imagining that horribly familiar voice. What's wrong? Is she hurt? His voice was closer now, and he sounded upset. I wasn't imagining it. I squeezed my eyes shut, hoping to die, or at the very least, not to throw up. Mike seemed stressed. I think she's fainted. I don't know what happened. She didn't even stick her finger. Bella, Edward's voice is right beside me, relieved now. Can you hear me? No, I groaned. Go away. He chuckled. I was taking her to the nurse, Mike explained in a defensive tone, but she wouldn't go any further. I'll take her, Edward said. I could hear the smile still in his voice. You can go back to class. No, Mike protested. I'm supposed to do it. What do you expect to happen, Mike? You could literally just say, like, someone else offered to help. Suddenly, the sidewalk disappeared from beneath me. My eyes flew open in shock, and Edward had scooped me up in his arms as easily as if I weighed 10 pounds instead of 110. Yeah, that's in there. 110 pounds.
I mean, that is what I weighed in high school, but...
Yeah. You also had an eating disorder.
Yes.
So, like, do you have any commentary?
No, I mean, I stayed around that weight till about the end of high school, even though I was... you know, healthy now, and then stayed around 115, 120 for all of college. You know, it's just how it goes.
Yeah. I was just gonna say, she's, like, supposed to be 5'6 or something? 5'5", 5'5", something?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. I know this was commented on before on at least TikTok, and it's like, it's just the mentioning of how much she weighs when it's like no one ever thinks that.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess sometimes it's like, I'm almost 150 pounds. Like, to me, that's the heaviest I've ever been. Like, I don't understand how anyone can pick that amount of weight up. Like, that, it's just a foreign concept to me.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is.
I can't just explain it. I will say, like, those are, like, sometimes some of the average weights, though, in, like, a gym.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But what I'm getting at is, like, it's just Stephanie Meyer just having to put in there how much she weighed. And I think stuff like this comes back up again. Because it's, like, because it's kind of this whole, it's, like, Stephanie Meyer totes that, oh, Bella's not like other girls because she doesn't care about X, Y, and Z, but then it's like you also do this thing that kind of perpetually puts her into, like,
yeah,
this. Because, honestly, she could have put there it as easily as if I weighed, like, lighter than a feather, than a sack of potatoes, or something like that.
Yeah.
That's usually how it's described.
Because,
like, if you're putting in there, it's like, he picked me up as if I weighed lighter than a feather.
Mm-hmm. Then that, you know.
Yeah.
That gives me a different
picture. That puts more, like, visual into, because it's like, that puts, to me, that puts more into visual, like, how strong they are versus.
Yeah.
That. It just, I don't know, it just sounds shitty to me. Put me down, please, please. Let me not vomit on him. He was walking before I could finish talking. Don't let me vomit on his khakis. They'll be a different color of khaki from then on!
I just got these from the dry cleaner.
I just put the 80s crease in them. Hey! Mike called, already 10 paces behind us. Mike, just go back to class. You're making a fool of yourself. Mike, you're being cringe. Edward ignored him. You look awful, he told me, grinning.
Oh, thanks.
Put me back on the sidewalk, I moaned. The rocking movement of his walk was not helping. I mean, yeah.
It
would not help.
No.
He held me away from his body, gingerly supporting all my weight with just his arms. It didn't seem to bother him. So you faint at the sight of blood, he asked. That seemed to entertain him. I didn't answer. I closed my eyes again and fought the nausea with all my strength, clamping my lips together. And not even your own blood, he continued, enjoying himself. I don't know how to open the... I don't know how he opened the door while carrying me. He just kind of, like, shifted her around like she was, like, a bunch of jars of sauce.
You know, in all honesty, I wouldn't trust any man carrying an armload of glass bottles of sauce because they just run into everything.
But Edward did.
He's outside.
But it was suddenly warm, so I knew we were inside. Oh, now they're inside. Oh my, I heard a female voice gasp, because all nurses have to be women. Hmm. I'm just going with that because literally she has very... very gendered. She fainted in biology. She didn't really faint.
No, she just got sick.
Like, fainting is more of, like, when you definitely lose consciousness for, like...
Yeah. It,
yeah. She didn't lose consciousness. I opened my eyes. I was in the office, and Edward was striding past the front counter toward the nurse's door. Miss Cope, the red-headed front office receptionist, ran ahead of him to hold it open. The grandmotherly nurse looked up from a novel, astonished as Edward swung. Yeah, of course she's not.
Grandmotherly nurse.
And of course she's doing nothing but reading a novel.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's always like. Okay, there's always a. I swear there was always at least like one person in the nurse's office, and it's usually someone who already has like an established, I have a medical issue.
Yeah.
So.
And I went to, like, a decent-sized school, and the amount of us who had, like, headaches or didn't feel well was always, like, really high. But, you know, that's because I'm from the era of pushing yourself until you don't function anymore.
Honestly, the only times that I've been to the nurse's office are the time when I threw up. And then there was, like, this, I don't know why it happened this way, but there was, like, this time in, like, this one class, it wasn't health class, but we were, I think it was my, it was a class I was taking about, like, child rearing sort of thing, mm-hmm. and we were going over contraceptives, and I don't know why, but there was, like, I think it was when we went over the rod one that it made me feel faint, because that one always makes me feel faint, because I always just get a little bit...
It's wonky. Yeah,
it's a weird one. The thing is, like, I started coughing, and then I just got really fainty for some reason. Like, I didn't faint, but I felt just, like, suddenly really, like, nauseous. And I don't know why.
No, that was...
And the thing is, I didn't get nauseous at the birthing video.
Oh, I don't want to.
I didn't get nauseous. I think it's because I watched my cat give birth.
That's fair.
I've seen birth in the form of a cat. So, like, I'm not nauseous by that. But, like, for some reason, the rod under the skin makes me nauseous every time.
I was talking about how I wanted to have... In a different career choice, I wanted to be a forensic pathologist. But don't bring me anything that's, like, been in the water for a certain amount of time, because I'm gonna lose my shit and...
Yeah, like, projectile vomit everywhere.
Anytime, like, even when you do your first residency for that type of stuff, you have to do the cadaver practice.
Yeah.
And even then, I'm like...
Don't they usually get their, like, stuff from body farms or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Well, they get it from people who donate their bodies. Mm-hmm. The body farms are about studying
the levels of decomposition in certain environments. Yeah. It's so gruesome, but it's so interesting.
I was talking to my mom about that, of all people, and I was like, what, like, do they have them fenced off?
I think
they're far away enough.
I think it's, like, both far away because the smell is definitely gonna...
No shit.
It's definitely gonna start stinking, but it's also, like, I feel like they have to have it closed off at least a bit. Like, if it's, like, close to a river...
Yeah.
I don't think they can actually, like, have it properly closed off like that, but it's, like...
I was like, what if you just accidentally stumbled on this?
Didn't that actually happen in an episode of Bones or something?
No, they go to one.
They go to one.
Yeah.
Okay, I think they...
And Temperance is really excited.
Yeah, I think they have it, like, properly, like, signed, like, labeled. Like, I think there's, like, proper identification, like, don't go beyond this point, or warning dead bodies.
goodness.
Edward swung me into the room like a sack of potatoes and placed me gently on the crackly paper that covered the brown vinyl mattress on the one cot. There's only one cot? There has to, I think, like, I remember, like, there being at least five.
Yeah, we had six.
Five, six is, like, usually standard, because...
Yeah, unless it's a very tiny school. So, like, my elementary school had two.
Yeah, but
that's elementary
school. This is a high school. Yeah. Right. Then he moved to stand against the wall as far across from the narrow room as possible. His eyes were bright, excited. She's just a little faint, he reassured the startled nurse. They're blood typing in biology. The nurse nodded sagely. There's always one. He muffled a snicker. Just lie down for a minute, honey. It'll pass. I know. I sighed. The nausea was already fading. Does this happen a lot? She asked. Sometimes, I admitted. Edward coughed to hide another laugh. Don't laugh,
Edward,
you dick.
Bitch.
You can go back to class now, she told him.
Wow, I thought she was talking about Lindsay. That was fast. No.
I'm supposed to stay with her, he said, with such an assured authority that even though she pursed her lips, the nurse didn't argue it further. I'll go get you some ice for your forehead, dear, she said to me, then bustled out of the room. You were right, I moaned, letting my eyes close. I usually am, but what about in particular this time? Fuck off! Ditching is healthy. I practiced breathing evenly. You scared me for a minute there, he admitted after a pause. His tone made it sound like he was confessing a humiliating weakness. I thought Newton was dragging your dead body off to bury it in the woods. No! He actually killed her because she said no! I shouldn't joke about that.
It's dark humor time!
Dark humor time!
Just get out the skeletons. I'll finish where I'm at.
I just don't know. Like, I'm gonna try to.
The pages are different because I have a newer book and you have the older book.
I know. I'm sorry.
I don't know why it's different.
This is just the one that I ordered.
So. Gotcha. I just picked this up from Target. Ha ha, I said, my eyes still closed, but I was feeling more normal every minute. Honestly, I've seen corpses with better color. I was concerned that I might have to avenge your murder. poor Mike. I'll bet he's mad. He absolutely loathes me, Edward said cheerfully. You can't know that, I argued, but then I wondered suddenly if he could. I saw his face. I could tell.
Yeah.
I mean, you did basically snatch the princess away from him.
That's true.
And now he has to go to another castle. Mm-hmm. How did you see me? I thought you were ditching. I was almost fine now, though the queasiness would probably pass faster if I had eaten something for lunch, or you would have actually thrown up.
Probably.
Honestly,
you'd probably thrown up the lemonade.
At least that.
Or something.
She had something in her stomach she probably would have thrown up, honestly. Like, if she had something in her system, it probably would have done that, but...
Still would throw up bile.
Yeah. Bile is still an option. On the other hand, maybe it was lucky my stomach was empty. I mean, yeah. I was in my car listening to a CD. He was listening to Celine Dion. I don't know why that's funny to me, but he's listening to Celine Dion in his car.
That makes sense.
I heard the door and opened my eyes to see the nurse with a cold compress in her hand. Here you go, dear. She laid it across my forehead. You're looking better, she added. I think I'm fine, I said, sitting up, just a little ringing in my ears, no spinning. The mint green walls stayed where they should.
Thank God.
I could see she was about to make me lie back down, but the door opened just then and Miss Cope stuck her head in, like, right through the door.
And somebody says in the way background, we just got that fixed.
We've got another one, she warned. I hopped down to free up the cot for the next in... I'm not gonna say that.
I don't understand why that's bad.
It's not bad, it's just this is the wrong context for that.
Oh.
And it is usually used in a...
I've never heard it used in a...
Invalid?
Yeah.
Usually, like, it's not... The thing is, it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, it's a way to describe someone who, like, can't leave the house sort of thing.
Ah, yes.
Like, yeah, it's because they're, like, it's a part of, like, they can't take care of themselves sort of situation is usually the context for it.
I heard myself go buzz buzz.
I heard it too.
Over here.
But it's like, I could be saying, do you want to Google it real quick, actually, the word invalid? It's just, it seems wrong in this context.
Well, it's gonna first come up with invalid.
Yeah.
Come on.
But I feel like this is kind of the, like, this doesn't feel like the right, I feel like if you use it in a certain set, like, way in sentence, it can be seen as bad. But, yeah.
One who is sickly or disabled.
And usually that is the basic meaning, but I've mostly heard it with someone who is, like, not in the best. Like, it's usually...
Of, related to, or suited to one that is sick.
It works, but it also, it's like, it's the context of it.
Yeah.
It's like, this doesn't feel right to me. I handed the compress back to the nurse. Here, I don't need this. You need to use it, though, because... You need to use it, though, because you already touched it.
Yeah.
They can't reuse it on someone else because germs, Bella. And this is why you have more than one cot.
Yeah.
And then Mike staggered through the door, now supporting a sallow-looking Lee Stevens, another boy in our biology class. Edward and I drew back against the wall to give them room. Oh no, Edward muttered. Go out to the office, Bella. He's gonna throw up. I looked up at him, bewildered. Trust me, go. I spun and caught the door before it closed, darting out of the infirmary. This isn't an infirmary.
No.
I could feel Edward right behind me. You actually listened to me, he was stunned. I smelled the blood, I said, wrinkling my nose. Lee wasn't sick from watching other people like me. People can't smell blood, he contradicted. Yeah, they can.
Yeah, you can.
It smells like iron.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever walked into a place that just smells like blood?
Yeah.
Or if you're, like, literally not feeling that well, sometimes your senses get heightened and you're just like, ooh, I can smell it.
Yeah.
Well, I can. That's what makes me sick. I smell like rust and salt. Yeah. That's kind of what it smells like.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
That is a pretty accurate smell of it. He was staring at me with an unfathomable expression. What? I asked. It's nothing. You're not that special, Bella. She's not that special.
You're really not that special.
The thing is, she's not saying she's special. It's Edward who's like, what?
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 Edward, she's not that special.
Yeah. Mike came through the door then, glancing from me to Edward. The look he gave Edward confirmed what Edward had said about loathing. He looked back at me, his eyes glum. You look better, he accused. Just keep your hand in your pocket, I warned him again. It's not bleeding anymore, he muttered. Are you going back to class? Are you kidding? I just have to turn around and come back. Yeah, I guess. So are you going this weekend to the beach? While he spoke, he flashed another glare toward Edward, who was standing against the cluttered counter motionless as a sculpture staring off into space. He looked like... Michelangelo's David.
Yes.
Fig leaf and all. That's what he was wearing in his car while he was listening to Celine Dion.
That's how he burst into the nurse's office.
Just in a fig leaf.
Yeah, and then nobody says shit about it.
No one wants to say shit about it.
I tried to sound as friendly as possible. Sure, I said. I was in. We're meeting at my dad's store at 10. His eyes flickered to Edward again. Wondering if he was giving out too much information. His body language made it clear that it wasn't an open invitation. I'll be there, I promised. I'll see you in gym then, he said, moving uncertainly toward the door.
She should have thrown up on Mike.
That would have been hilarious.
That would have made it more clear that you don't like him.
See you, I replied.
You know what, that's the advice I'm giving. If you don't like someone, just vomit on them. Projectile vomit on them. There, you're...
Just out of nowhere.
Problem solved.
He looked at me once more, his round face slightly pouting. And then, as he walked slowly through the door, his shoulders slumped. A swell of sympathy washed over me. I pondered seeing his disappointed face again. Dot, 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 dot. In gym. Gym, I groaned. I can take care of that. I hadn't noticed Edward moving to my side, but he spoke now in my ear. Go sit down and look pale.
I mean, she already looks pale enough, but okay.
That wasn't a challenge. I was always pale.
See, she's always pale.
And my recent swoon had left a light sheen of sweat on my face. I sat in one of the creaky folding chairs and rested my head against the wall with my eyes closed. Fainting spells always exhausted me.
You didn't faint. You didn't lose consciousness.
I heard Edward speaking softly at the counter. Ms. Cope? Yes. I hadn't heard her return to her desk. Bella has gym next hour, and I don't think she feels well enough. Actually, I was thinking I should take her home now. Do you think you could excuse her from class?
You know, I was gonna say she probably shouldn't go to gym class after, like, true. Almost fainting and, like, feeling like shit because, like, she now, like, you almost threw up and you felt nauseous and now you have to go run around in a gym. That doesn't sound like a good idea.
No. His voice was like melting honey. I could imagine how much more overwhelming his eyes would be. What an awful time to think about either of those things.
What an awful time to just remember every second of the day that his eyes are, like, gold and not any regular color.
Do you need to be excused too, Edward? Ms. Cope fluttered. Why couldn't I do that? No, I have Mrs. Goth. She won't mind. She's a true Gothic.
Yes.
Okay, it's all taken care of. You feel better, Bella. She called me. I nodded weakly, hamming it up just a bit. Can you walk or do you want me to carry you again?
Throw her over your shoulder like a sack of potatoes.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
With his back to the receptionist, his expression became sarcastic. I'll walk. I stood carefully and I was still fine. He held the door for me, his smile polite, but his eyes mocking. I walked out into the cold, fine mist that had just begun to fall. It felt nice the first time. I'd enjoyed the constant moisture falling out of the sky as it washed my face clean of the sticky perspiration. Thanks, I said as he followed me out. It's almost worth getting sick to miss Jim. Anytime. He was staring straight forward, squinting into the rain. So are you going? This Saturday, I mean? I was hoping he would, though it seemed unlikely. I couldn't picture him loading up to carpool with the rest of the kids from school. He didn't belong in the same world. Ah, yes. Good old classism.
Ah, yes. Classism. What is this, a Dickens novel?
But just hoping that he might gave me the first twinge of enthusiasm I'd felt for the outing. If you don't want to go, then don't go.
Just say, I don't want to go.
Where are you all going exactly? He was still looking ahead, expressionless. Down to La Push, to First Beach at La Shove.
At La Shove. La Push, La Shove.
I studied his face, trying to read it. His eyes seemed to narrow. Infinitesimally.
What the fuck?
Infinitesimally.
Like just. I think it's infinitesimally.
Okay, thank you. He glanced down at me from the corner of his eye, smiling wryly. I really don't think I was invited. I sighed. I just invited you. Let's you and I not push poor Mike any further this week. We don't want him to snap. His eyes danced. He was enjoying the idea more than he should. Mike Schmike, I muttered. Wow, that was
That is rude.
That was just so biting, Bella. Like, you really... So, you call him those awful names.
Yeah, Mike Schmike. That sounds like a slur for some reason.
Schmike.
It does.
It sounds like some sort of drink. You know, like a Schmike's Hard Lemonade.
Mike Schmike's Hard Lemonade. Oh, God. It doesn't sound right.
I know. I don't want to think about it.
Mm-mm.
Preoccupied, by the way, he'd said, you and I liked it more than I should. We were near the parking lot now. I veered left toward my truck. Something caught my jacket, yanking me back. Where do you think you're going? He asked, outraged. He was gripping a fistful of my jacket in one hand. I was confused. I'm going home. Didn't you hear me promise to take you safely home? Do you think I'm going to let you drive in your condition?
Just let her drive and then drive behind her.
I mean...
But at the same time, I get it.
Somebody drive, yeah.
After they nearly fainted.
Yeah. His voice was still indignant. What condition? And what about my truck? I complained. I'll have Alice drop it off after school. He was towing me toward his car now. Pulling me by my jacket.
Just picturing. Why didn't they keep this in the movie? Just pulling her by her jacket. That sounds funny as fuck.
It was all I could do to keep from falling backward. He'd probably just drag me along anywhere if I did.
I mean, why didn't we have, like, more of kind of this? Just
all I can think of is this one... I think it was in a fan fiction I read. I got quite a kick out of the line in it as well, but it was something along the lines of, like, and if I don't go with you, are you going to drag me by my hair like a Neanderthal, too? Oh, God. I was like, what a good quip. What an insult.
Just the whole he's dragging her by her jacket. It's like, nope, you're not going that way, you're going this way.
Let go, I insisted. He ignored me. I staggered along sideways across the wet sidewalk until we reached the Volvo.
She's just being dragged this whole time.
Then he finally freed me. I stumbled against the passenger door. You are so pushy.
I'm just picturing that she got lost in her... You know, like, what happens when you, like, put a something over, like, your pet's head or something, and they try to get out? That happened. The jacket is just stuck on her head.
All I can imagine is Barry getting stuck in the Chipotle bag and, like, tearing around my father's house like a crackhead.
Yes, that's Bella right now. Getting stuck in a Chipotle bag, tearing around like a crackhead. That's Bella.
He hasn't liked bags since.
Poor Barry.
It's open was all he responded. He got in the driver's side. I am perfectly capable of driving myself home. I stood by the car, fuming. It was raining harder now, and I'd never put my hood up, so my hair was dripping down my back. He lowered the automatic window and leaned toward me across the seat.
Get in, Bella! We're not having this conversation! Now get in the car! Get in!
That's what he says. Get in, Bella!
Get in, Bella! We're not having this conversation. You're too sick right now to do anything, and you're, like, absolutely clumsy, and I don't trust you at all. You almost got hit.
You're letting the heat out.
You're letting the heat out.
By forcing me to keep the window open.
Yeah. You're letting the heat out, but you opened the window, but you're letting the heat out. Even though he just started the car.
I didn't answer. I was mentally calculating my chances of reaching the truck before he could catch me. I had to admit, they weren't good. I'll just drag you back, he threatened, guessing my plan.
Just grab you by the jacket, throw you in the trunk. Pick her up. Yeah, pick her up by the scruff of her neck and throw her in the trunk. Sorry.
Like a bad kitty.
Like a bad kitty cat. Like a mom cat finally fed up with her baby cat.
And all the while the baby cat's like...
That's Bella this whole time. She's just...
She's Lily when they...
I'm just picturing it now as, like, whenever I pick Barry up, he just has to wiggle. That's Bella. You know what? I like this idea of the relationship being absolutely so fucking ridiculous. He's just, like, fed up, and then she's just like, gremlin. I like that just as much as the Jack Frost is real stuff. But gremlin Bella would be entertaining. Oh, no, just picture it, like, Bella not doing this alone, because it's like, I don't want to burden everyone else. She just legit thinks she can do it by herself, like, oh, James is trying to kill me, let me at him. Just gremlin mode in there. Charges in like a fucking gremlin.
That would be me.
Bella driving to school, gremlin. Ah! I need gremlin Bella. Being an absolute gremlin of a human being. Just like, what? I don't know why you're looking at me like that. You are either going to fall flat on your face, or you're going to stab someone's eye out. You're probably going to do both, honestly. Just chaotic Bella, and then Edward reining her in. Just like, oh my God, this is my life now.
That was the meme you made about me, about the meme generator.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sorry, with the meme generator.
Remember that meme I made with the mannequin head of Bobby from King of the Hill? After just that after Elliot's scarecrow comment. I'm not gonna say the whole thing, but it was pretty good. It's a good meme. Good soup.
I tried to maintain what dignity I could as I got into his car. I wasn't very successful. I can't just... And that is because it's raining, obviously, that you would, like, step to get up, but it's slick.
Slick and slippery.
I looked like a half-drowned cat and my boots squeaked. This is completely unnecessary, I said stiffly. He didn't answer. He fiddled with the controls, turning the heater up and the music down. As he pulled out of the parking lot, I was preparing to give him the silent treatment, my face in full pout mode. But then, I recognized the music playing, and my curiosity got the better of my intentions. Honestly, my face in full pout mode, that's just potato.
She's literally just a cat. When she's like this, she is like a cat. This is when she actually has personality, when she's like legit gremlin mode.
Claire de Lune, I asked, surprised. You know, I don't know how to say
it. Debussy? I think it's Debussy.
He sounded surprised, too. Not well, I admitted. My mother plays a lot of classical music around the house. I only know my favorites.
He had to put this on quickly just so she wouldn't catch him listening to Celine Dion.
Nickelback.
Look at this photograph on repeat. That's the only song. It's like that one story where it's like I knew one guy who only had one song on his iPad. And it was just that. Insert the one song on repeat.
Honestly, Nickelback gets so much hate. They're not that bad.
They're not, but look at this photograph.
Look at this graph.
Edward just listens to My Heart Will Go on repeat. That's the only thing he listens to.
It's one of my favorites, too. He stared out through the train. The rain!
There was a train in the parking lot suddenly.
Suddenly a train was crossing.
Lights flickering, everything going off.
Lost in thought, I listened to the music, relaxing against the light gray leather seat. It was impossible not to respond to the familiar, soothing melody. The rain blurred everything outside the window into gray and green smudges.
I mean, yeah, that's what rain does.
Yeah.
That's what rain does, Bella.
Explain the fucking rain to me.
Don't explain rain to me. I knew the dark magic when it was made at the beginning. Don't explain it to me, Bella.
I began to realize we were driving very fast. The car moved so steadily, so evenly. Though I didn't feel the speed, only the town flashing by gave it away.
Oh look, it's an advert for Volvo.
I've never driven a Volvo, so I cannot confirm nor deny how
All I know is that it can take the full impact of a moose, so I can only assume it can also take the full impact of Emmett. Oh my god, headcanon time! To test out if it could really take the full impact of a moose without warning, Edward just hit Emmett with his car.
I
And Alice was taping it the whole time. She asked him, like, hey, Emmett, can you just stand over here real quick? He's like, his finger was up his nose, like, sure. And then just crash!
I found the perfect post about what an actual himbo is, and it was like, the H in himbo stands for heart. So, if he doesn't have a heart, he's not a himbo.
So that means Emmett isn't really a himbo.
I mean, he has a heart because he cares about things.
He does care about things, but he acts more like a meathead than a himbo.
Who would we call a true himbo?
Oh god, I know who the truest himbo is of all time, but I can't think of his name right now.
You know, I bet Merc knows.
I can't think of the character.
I'm gonna text Merc.
Elliot would fall under himbo, though. He would. He would. He would. I'm sorry, Elliot. I'm trying to think. Oh, God, who would be a himbo? I should ask Libby, but she's probably asleep by now. It's because she a lot of her fictional crushes are himbos.
I love it, though.
It's great. No, himbos are amazing.
Brendan Fraser and the Mummy.
Yes.
That's my...
Brendan Fraser and George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brendan Fraser's characters, for the most part. For the most part.
I love it, though.
Not all of them, but some of them. Oh, God.
George.
Oh, Iron Bull from Dragon Age Inquisition, I think, would be a contester. Also, Alistair from Dragon Age Origins. That's all I can think of ever. I'm trying to think of the truest himbo.
What is your mother like? He asked me suddenly. I glanced over to see him studying me with curious eyes.
Why what are you, my therapist? Loud? What are you, my therapist? I asked him.
She looks a lot like me, but she's prettier, I said.
That's... And Sigmund Freud would tell us. She has a complex.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He raised his eyebrows. I have too much Charlie in me. That sounds very wrong.
That does sound very
she's
wrong.
She's more outgoing than I am and braver. She's irresistible and slightly eccentric, and she's a very unpredictable cook.
Irresponsible.
Yes. She's my best friend. I stopped. Talking about her was making me depressed. How old are you, Bella? You need to call the guy. Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen's gonna come in and tell him to take a seat.
His voice sounded frustrated for some reason I couldn't imagine. He'd stopped the car and I realized we were at Charlie's house already. The rain was so heavy that I could barely see the house at all. It was like the car was submerged under a river.
God, Bella, that sounds like a flood warning.
I know. I'm 17, I responded a little confused. You don't seem 17. His tone was reproachful. It made me laugh. What? He asked, curious again. My mom always says I was born 35 years old. And that I get more middle-aged every year.
Hold on, how old was Stephanie Meyer when she wrote this book?
I have no idea.
I'm going to guess 35.
I laughed and then sighed. Well, someone has to be the adult, I paused for a second. You don't seem much like a junior in high school yourself, I noted. He made a face and then changed the subject. So why did your mother marry Phil? Phil. I was surprised he would remember the name. I had mentioned it just once, almost 2 months ago. It took me a moment to answer. My mother, she is very young for her age. I think Phil makes her feel even younger. At any rate, she's crazy about him. I shook my head. The attraction was a mystery to me. Do you approve? He asked. Does it matter? I countered. I want her to be happy, and he is who she wants. That's very generous. I wonder, he mused, what? Would she extend the same courtesy to you, do you think? No matter who your choice was, he was suddenly intent, his eyes searching mine.
Look, if she wants to date someone who's 18 and he has like a weird viper tattoo across his face and his nickname is Skull... That's her choice.
That is.
But I don't think any parent would approve.
Definitely not, but I think it would be utterly hilarious if he was just, like, the nicest dude in the universe.
I was gonna say, like, again, look at Eddie Munson in Stranger Things. Look at him. He is a total fucking nerd. Yeah, does he smoke weed and also sell drugs to underage kids, to high schoolers? Yeah, but at the same time, he's kind of a sweetheart. Kind of.
I think so, I stuttered. But she's the parent, after all. It's a little bit different. No one too scary, then, he teased. Like me!
Natural born killer!
I grinned in response. What do you mean by scary? Multiple facial piercings and extensive tattoos? That's not very scary.
Unless it's like a dragon red across the face and his nickname is Skull.
I would have to say that I would be terrified of someone with a split tongue.
I think I'd be terrified of someone wearing a pink polo and khakis. And, like, the little shoulder.
Hell no! So,
that's terrifying. You know why it's terrifying?
Because he can just summon his legion of lawyers if you upset him.
That, and it's like, it gives off the vibes of, I can do whatever I want and get away with it. I could murder you.
It's and get away with
it. It's a cashmere sweater. Also, I'm mad at you, so I'm going to kill you and hide your body in the basement, and then no one's going to find out about it because I'm going to summon my legion of lawyers. That's what it gives me.
Yeah, that's totally what it gets.
Yeah, that feels more dangerous to me than Skull with his face tattoo.
It's kind of just like you have freaking Trevor over here, and then you have, like, the most bone-chilling serial killer you could ever get. And those are the two extremes. And then everybody else is somewhere in the middle.
But the thing is, sometimes Trevor is the serial killer.
That's true.
So that's when it becomes the full circle.
Fuck.
Yeah. it's more like a horseshoe, but the horseshoe is, like, very, like, there's a little bit, like, separating it. Yeah.
That's one definition, I suppose. What's your definition? But he ignored my question and asked me another. Do you think that I could be scary? He raised one eyebrow. Edward, calm the fuck down. You are not edgy.
I mean, anyone can be scary if they're mad enough. And
yeah, anyone can be scary.
Yeah, it's just like, are you actually he was a serial killer in like the 30s, 20s. So... Yeah, Mom would not approve.
He raised one eyebrow, and the faint trace of a smile lightened his face. I thought for a moment, wondering whether the truth or a lie would go over better. I decided to go with the truth. I think you could be if you wanted to. Are you frightened of me now? The smile vanished, and his heavenly face was suddenly serious. Having a serious face doesn't make you... scary.
No, it just makes you seem like a stick in the mud. Yeah. And that you have like something.
That's just your face.
It's just your face, and it also makes it look like you, I don't know, it's like you have a stick shoved far up your ass and not in the fun way.
No, but I answered too quickly. The smile returned. So now are you going to tell me about your family? I asked to distract him. It's got to be a much more interesting story than mine. He was instantly cautious. What do you want to know? The Cullens adopted you? I verified. Yes. I hesitated for a moment. What happened to your parents? They died many years ago. Literally.
Like, over 100 years ago.
His tone was matter of fact. I'm sorry, I mumbled. I don't really remember them that clearly. Carlisle and Esme have been my parents for a long time now, specifically almost 100 years.
Yes. Well, Carlisle first was his dad, and then Esme kind of came around there, so not quite 100 years with Esme yet.
Yeah. And you love them? It wasn't a question. It was obvious in the way he spoke of them. Yes, he smiled. I couldn't imagine two better people. You're very lucky. I know I am. And your brother and sister? He glanced at the clock on the dashboard. My brother and sister, and Jasper and Rosalie, for that matter, are going to be quite upset if they have to stand in the rain waiting for me. Oh, I thought Alice was just going to drive over and then...
She doesn't have the keys yet. He has to get the keys from...
Oh, that's true.
He has to get the keys from Bella.
Oh, sorry. I guess you have to go. I didn't want to get out of the car. And you probably want your truck back before Chief Swan gets home. So you don't have to tell him about the biology incident. He grinned at me.
Has it been 30... Like, roughly the same period of a class since...
More.
Have they just been sitting there since, Oh, God.
I'm sure he's already heard. There are no secrets in Forks, I sighed. Clearly, there's a glaringly big one. He laughed, and there was an edge to his laughter. Have fun at the beach. Good weather for sunbathing. He glanced out at the sheeting rain. Won't I see you tomorrow? No, Emmett and I are starting the weekend early. What are you going to do? A friend could ask that, right? I hope the disappointment wasn't too apparent in my voice. We're going to be hiking in the Goat Rocks Wilderness, just south of Rainier.
You know, I'm surprised that no one has talked about how you guys, like, just skip days of school just to go camping.
Yeah.
That's not normal.
No, that's not a thing.
That's not normal.
In real life.
In real life, that's not normal. That's actually very blatantly, like, this is going to raise some red flags with the school district.
I remember Charlie had said the Cullens went camping frequently. Oh, well, have fun. I tried to sound enthusiastic. I don't think I fooled him, though. A smile was playing around the edges of his lips. Will you do something for me this weekend? He turned to look me straight in the face, utilizing the full power of his burning gold eyes.
Shut up, we know his eyes are gold.
Are his eyes gold?
No, they're poop brown.
Hey.
Your eyes aren't poop brown, though. They're not.
I nodded helplessly. Don't be offended, but you seem to be one of those people who just attract accidents like a magnet. So, try not to fall into the ocean or get run over or anything, alright?
Hey, this is a book too early.
I know. I was just about to say the same thing. He smiled crookedly. The helplessness had faded as he spoke. I glared at him. I'll see what I can do, I snapped as I jumped out into the rain. I slammed the door behind me with excessive force. He was still smiling as he drove away.
You know, you could have laughed at yourself a bit about this because, yeah, you've admitted yourself that you're fucking klutzy.
Yeah.
As shit, Bella. You know what? It'd be kind of funnier? If Edward was like, just please don't try and fight a bear. I knew someone who tried that once. It didn't end out well. Again, I want Gremlin Bella.
There's just so many better moments that Stephanie Meyer could have gone with. Like,
the thing is, like, I just wish, again, I wish Bella was more unhinged and just all over the place like a fucking goddamn gremlin. Just like, that's baby shithead. Like that. That is the amount of unhinged I want from Bella. Just Lily looking so like, just looking like I'm gonna bite you as soon as you let go of me. I just want like that sort of level of him, just like, I'm gonna bite you as soon as you let go of me. Oh, you're gonna just pick me up like that? Fuck you too.
And then as soon as she runs off and he walks into the kitchen, she's bonking at his legs for treats. Like, I love you.
I thought you were talking about Bella for a second, but that works so. But no, I'm just like, no, what could have been funny is definitely Bella trying to make a break for it after Edward just lets her go, just like stops dragging her by her jacket. He just like, he turns to get into the car and he's like still talking and she's already like jogging down to her own truck, like, but then she like slips in the parking lot. And then he's just like,
she slips in the parking lot and just like eats mad shit.
And then he's just looking at her like, I'm driving you home now, for real. Like, I have to drive you home now. Because this is too much. See, this right here, this is too much. You're too much.
Yeah, there's just a lot happening here.
There's too much happening right now. You're kind of, I just want that. It's like, I think what Edward really needed was someone who was batshit crazy. Bella needs to be batshit crazy, and Edward needs someone who's, like, batshit crazy enough to get him to get that stick from out of his ass. Because that's how he always acts, like, he has a stick shoved far up his ass, and it's not the fun kind.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.